Welcome to the Golden Age of Comic Books. Hey, Golden Age fans, it's October 8th, 2006, and this is the 45th episode of the Golden Age of Comic Books. This is Bill Jourdain, your host. I'm glad you're here this week. We've got a good show coming up. We're going to talk about the Golden Age character known as the Hangman, who was presented by MLJ Comics way back in the Golden Age of Comic Books. We're going to have a short market report, and then we're going to call it a wrap. So let's get on into the Golden Age of Comic Books for this week. First of all, I wanted to make a small correction to something I mentioned in the last podcast, the 44th episode of the Golden Age of Comic Books, where at the beginning of the show, I talked about the Shazam Family Archives, number one, that came out a few weeks ago, featuring stories about Captain Marvel Jr. and the origin of Mary Marvel. I mistakenly said that the origin of Captain Marvel Jr. was contained in this volume, and I was incorrect about that, although many of the early adventures of Captain Marvel Jr. are presented in this book, including many of his famous battles with Captain Nazi. There is not contained in that book the origin of Captain Marvel Jr. That actually appears in the Shazam Archives Volume 4 that came out a while back, and that was the crossover story with Captain Marvel and Bullet Man where the origin of Captain Marvel Jr. was told. So if you want to read the origin of Captain Marvel Jr., go out and pick up a copy of the Shazam Archives number 4, read that story, and then turn around and pick up your copy of Shazam Family Archives number 1 to continue with those adventures right where they left off from the story in Shazam Archives number 4. That story originally appeared in Master Comics number 21 and begins on page 126 of the volume 4 of the Shazam Archive. So check that out, and I think you'll enjoy reading the origin of Captain Marvel Jr., and I think you'll, as I said in the last podcast, enjoy reading the Captain Marvel Jr. adventures as they appeared in the pages of Master Comics as reprinted in the Shazam Family Archives, Volume 1. Now, there's another archive book I want to mention, and it's not a DC archive, and it's not a Marvel Masterworks volume. This book actually has come out since my last podcast, and it was published by the Walt Disney Company, and it is called Disney Comics, The Classic Collection. It's really a neat book. I'm a fan of the old Disney comics, particularly the old Donald Duck books and the Uncle Scrooge books. But this book, if you're interested in reading the movie adaptations that appeared in Four Color Comics, reprints the Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs issue that was out in 1944, the Bambi issue from 1942, the Dumbo issue from 1941, Alice in Wonderland from 1951, and the Peter Pan edition from 1953. It's really a nice book. It's got a plastic jacket on it, a hardbound book, and it reprints the entirety of those stories and the covers. Really a nice book, and I'd recommend it if you're interested in reading those movie adaptations that came out way back during the Golden Age of comic books. I think you'll enjoy this book quite a bit. Like most of the archives or masterwork books that are hardbound, this one is $49.95 U.S., but it's well worth the money. I don't know what the discount would be at DCBS or in-stock trades, but check it out if you're a fan of the Disney books, and I think you'll enjoy reading some of that material and how they did the movie adaptations during the Golden Age of comic books. Well, now, if you're listening to my show, you know that I'm a big fan of the Golden Age of comic books, but I am also a fan of the Silver Age of comic books as well, and I was real pleased to be able to do a Silver Age segment on the latest edition of Comics Cast that Bruce Rosenberger does. I was on episode number 41 talking about Ace the Bat Hound, one of my favorite Silver Age or early Silver Age characters that appeared in the life of Batman and Robin. Ace the Bat Hound was actually a late Golden Age character, but most of his adventures took place in the Silver Age of comic books. So if you're interested in some Silver Age material, check out episode 41 of Comics Cast. I want to thank Bruce for allowing me to be on his show and talk about Ace the Bat Hound. Bruce has a wonderful podcast. If you haven't listened to it, check it out. You can go to comicscast.libsyn.com. That's comics with a K and cast with a K. Bruce does a great episode every week or two, and it's very enjoyable, and one of my favorite podcasts. So check out episode 41 of Comics Cast, and once again, thanks, Bruce, for letting me be on the show. All right, well, let's shift gears now and talk about the market report for this week. I learned, as I did a little research, about a collection that I wasn't aware of Golden Age comic books, and this was called the Davis Crippen D-Copy Collection. I had heard of D-Copy books before. There were a handful of books that had handwritten notations on them, the letter D, and then some other cryptic information that had come out into the collector's market years ago, and they were known as the D-Copies. Well, it turns out that these books were from a much larger Golden Age collection that had been amassed by a gentleman named Davis Crippen, starting back in 1939, going all the way through 1954. And Mr. Crippen decided back in 1939 that he was going to purchase every single comic book that came out on the stand during that time between 39 and 54. And so he did. It's unknown how the handful of books from his collection got out into the collector's market years ago. But last year, Mr. Crippen passed away, and his heirs went through and cataloged all of the comic books that he had saved for all of those years and consigned them all to Heritage auction galleries for their comic book auction. And many of those books were sold during their August 12, 2006 auction. You know, it's really hard to believe that someone all those years had 11,000 Golden Age comic books, most of which were high-grade comics, stored away and never sold them or did anything with them except for those books that did make it out into the collector's market. And it's not often these days that we hear about large original owner Golden Age collections being sold, but this one did sell, and I'm going to talk briefly about some of the highlights of the auction for some of these books. First of all, there was an issue of Detective Comics number 31, Fine Minus 5.5. It sold for $17,327.50. Now, if you're familiar with Detective Comics, that is one of the most famous of the early Golden Age Batman covers. It has a large picture of Batman looming over a castle, and I think if you see it, you'll certainly recognize it. Interestingly, that's the first storyline, the first story in the series of Batman battling a vampire that appeared in Detective Comics numbers 31 and 32 back in 1939. Those stories are now being retold in the current series, Batman and the Mad Monk. So if you haven't picked up your copies of Batman and the Mad Monk, check those out. They're really great stories and continue the run of retelling some of the very, very early stories before Robin was a character in the life of Batman during the early Golden Age of comic books. A copy of Detective Comics number 33, which is the origin, the first told origin of the Batman, that was graded CGC 4.0 very good. It sold for $7,767.50. Detective 35, Fine, minus 5.5, it sold for $17,925. All of these, again, are the Crippen Collection issues. The first appearance of Robin the Boy Wonder from Detective Comics number 38, that book was in good, very good 3.0, kind of a low-grade copy, but it still sold for $5,676.25. Now, I mentioned a few minutes ago how fond I am of the Golden Age Donald Duck adventures and the Golden Age Uncle Scrooge adventures, primarily those drawn by Carl Barks. Now, there was a pre-Barks issue of Four Color Comics, which was actually the very first appearance of Donald Duck in Four Color Comics. That was in the first series of Four Color. There were two series, by the way, of Four Color. This was in the first series, issue number 4, and it was graded Fine 5.5, and it sold for $6,572.50. Again, not a Barks issue. The copy of Phantom Lady number 17, which is the most famous copy of Phantom Lady. If you recognize Phantom Lady covers by Matt Baker, you'll notice this cover immediately, the most famous of the covers. It graded very fine 8.0, and it sold for $8,092.50. A copy of DC's Strange Adventures number 1 from the Crippen Collection from 1950, graded very fine 8.0, sold for $4,481.25. The 1949 issue of Superboy number 1, graded very fine, 7.5, pretty high grade copy of that rare comic, sold for $7,170. I think the highlight that I saw of the sales from the Crippen collection was a copy of Suspense Comics number 3, graded in very fine 8.0. This is an Alex Schomburg cover, and it is the highest graded copy known to exist of Suspense Comics number 3. Plus, there is not a Mile High copy of Suspense number 3. And also, this is considered one of the rarest of the Golden Age comics. I believe the Gerber Photo Journal rated this as a 9 in rarity, which is the highest rarity rating that it gives. Very few issues of this comic book are known to exist. The very fine 8.0 copy from the Crippen collection sold for $47,800. So as you can see, high-grade Golden Age books, particularly high-grade rare Golden Age books, are bringing in just a whole lot of money these days, and even the lower-grade copies of key Golden Age books are bringing in a lot of money. So the market appears to be holding strong. Heritage continues to be able to find and sell some of the nicest examples of Golden Age comic books that are out there, and I hope they keep it up, and I hope the collector's market continues to thrive and more people take note of the Golden Age of comic books. All right, well, let's shift gears now and talk about the Golden Age Hangman, who was presented by MLJ Comics way back in the Golden Age of comic books. But before I talk about the birth of the Hangman, I need to talk about the death of a superhero during the Golden Age of comic books. Now, what does that have to do with the Hangman? Well, listen in and you'll find out. In fact, this death of a superhero in the Golden Age of comic books was the very first time that a superhero was killed during the Golden Age of comic books. So let's talk about that character for a minute, and then we'll talk about the Hangman. That character was, of course, the Comet. The Comet made his first appearance in Pep Comics number 1. That was the January 1940 issue. And the Comet was a scientist named John Dickering, and he had his subspecialty in the sciences in the world of chemistry. And he had discovered a gas which he injected into his own blood. As we've talked about so many times in the past, some of these Golden Age superheroes just insisted on experimenting on themselves. And he injected a gas that he created into his bloodstream, and it made him possible to leap through the air in great leaps and fly, almost like Superman did. And it also had a strange side effect, and that side effect was that the gas settled in his eyes and created rays, like laser beams, that shot out of his eyes. And he discovered that the rays or the laser beams that shot out of his eyes were only controllable with glass. They could not penetrate glass, and so he wore glass goggles to keep the rays from hurting others and disintegrating other items and that kind of thing. Now, you're probably sitting there thinking, well, gee, that sounds just like Cyclops from the X-Men. Well, you're right. That's exactly what this guy looked like when he shot the rays out of his eyes, just like Cyclops from the X-Men. And so the Comet got his start, as I mentioned, in Pep Comics number 1, and continued on for a number of issues. Notably, the Comet was drawn in his first 6 adventures by the great Jack Cole, who of course went on to create Plastic Man. The Comet was a popular character and had some pretty good adventures. I think one of the most notable storylines that occurred in the life of the Comet was the storyline that took place in issue number 3 of Pep Comics, and that was when the Comet was captured by 2 sinister villains. Satan was one of them, and his assistant Doc Zadar. And using hypnotism, they convinced the Comet that he was evil, and believe it or not, the Comet went out in that story and killed a number of policemen, disintegrated them with his eye beams, and disintegrated lots of infrastructure and that kind of thing. Ultimately, Satan and Doc Zadar met their end at the hands of the Comet, and he regained his senses and realized what he had done, and spent the rest of his adventures in Pep Comics trying to clear his name, and did so fairly successfully, most notably with the help of a woman named Thelma Gordon, who became a regular in his stories in issue number 5 of Pep Comics. and went on from there. Now, how does all this have anything to do with the Hangman, who is the main focus of our Golden Age of Comic Books episode today? Well, to find that out, we have to turn to the pages of Pep Comics number 17. That was the July 1941 issue. That story was written by Cliff Campbell and drawn by George Storm. And in that story about the Comet, it was actually titled, though, The Hangman. The story begins with Comet in the story, and as he is getting ready to change out of his costume, he is discovered by someone, and that someone is his brother, Bob Dickering. And Bob, as he discovers that his brother is actually a superhero known as the Comet, begins to help his brother in certain ways, along with Thelma Gordon, and the Comet continues to fight crime in that particular issue. However, there is in that issue a gangster known as Big Boy Malone, and Big Boy Malone determines that he is going to have to get rid of John Dickering, who was a witness to one of his crimes, not knowing that John Dickering was actually the Comet. And as the thugs who were hired by Big Boy Malone come to the apartment complex where John Dickering lives, they come across Bob Dickering out in the out on the sidewalk, and they ask him if his name is Dickering, and he says, well, yes, it is. And they point their guns at him, and they tell him, you're going to have to come with us. We're going to kidnap you. Well, the Comet sees that from his upstairs window and realizes that he must go to the rescue of his brother, Bob, and he zooms out of the window just at the same time that his brother, Bob, tries to run away and the thugs began to fire their guns at him. Well, the Comet swoops down to draw their fire, and in a volley of bullets is struck several times by the thugs and is mortally wounded. About that time, the police arrive and realize that there's a shootout going on, and of course they jump out of their police car with guns blazing. And in the confusion, John tells Bob, I know I'm dying, you must take me back up to my laboratory, you need to get me out of here so I'm not discovered. And so Bob carries John up a fire escape back into his laboratory, and we see the scene where John is lying, dying on his sofa, talking to Bob, his brother, and to Thelma, and tells them that it's my turn now. You two stick together, kind of a memorial to me. Goodbye, Bobby. Goodbye, Thel. And then he passes away. And at that point, John's brother Bob clenches his fist and looks at Thelma and says, I'll carry on for him, Thel. I'll bring his murderers to the hangman. I'll be their hangman. And on page 7 of the story that appears in Pep Comics number 17, we see the very first appearance of the hangman in comics in his green costume with the blue cape and the dark blue boots and gauntlets and a mask that is very reminiscent of Batman's mask without the ears. And of course, the trademark is the braided rope that he wears as a belt around his waist, the rope of the hangman. Now, I think it's very interesting if you take a look at page 7 of this story that I just mentioned. In the panel that's in the top right of this particular story, you'll see Bob Dickering leaning over the laboratory equipment of his dead brother, John, and thinking about how he's going to be a superhero and someone who fights crime. And he says, and I'll quote, criminals are all cowards at heart, so my first task will be to find a uniform that will take advantage of this. Now, where have you heard that before, Golden Age fans? Well, it's very interesting that in The Origin of Batman from Detective Comics number 33, Bruce Wayne, who has 3 panels earlier been standing over his laboratory table, says, and I quote, criminals are a superstitious, cowardly lot, so my disguise must be able to strike terror into their hearts. I must be a creature of the night, black, terrible. And of course, then the rest is history. As you all know, a bat flies into the window of the study and he decides to become Batman. So the origin of the Hangman from MLJ Comics is very, very similar to the origin told of the Batman in Detective Comics number 33 several years earlier, where he decides that the cowardice of criminals would dictate how he would fight crime. And so the Hangman's origin is then set, and the Hangman begins his adventures. And I've got to tell you, I've read a lot of the Hangman stories, and they are in a lot of ways very, very similar to the Batman stories. He had no particular superpowers. He was just a very intelligent person. He used his skill as a fighter to fight crime. He used his intelligence and his skill as a detective to fight crime. So in a lot of ways, the Hangman was the Batman character for MLJ Comics. Now, let's talk about where the Hangman appeared and some more about the character. I think one of the most notable features of the Hangman is how he always announced himself to the criminals that he was about to apprehend. And what he had was a light beam that shined onto the wall of the room where he's going to burst in and subdue the criminals. And that light beam actually showed a picture of a gallows on the wall. And so the criminals would be terrified that the gallows was being shined by the Hangman onto their wall, because they knew that he was going to be coming through the door or the window at any moment to apprehend them, and then they would be taken to the gallows where justice would be swift. And of course, that's exactly what happened to Big Boy Malone in the story in Pep Comics number 17. He saw the gallows shining on his wall, and sure enough, he was apprehended by the Hangman, and at the end of the story, they showed him being hung in the gallows for the crimes that he had committed. Now, the Hangman appeared, as I mentioned, starting in Pep Comics number 17, and had a pretty good run in Pep Comics during the Golden Age of comic books. He ran all the way through Pep Comics number 47. That was the March 1944 issue. Now, the Hangman was so popular, in fact, that he got his own title. I think it's interesting, though, that in the very last panel of the first Hangman story from Pep Comics number 17, the editors of MLJ actually wrote a little note and said, "Well, boys and girls, how do you like this unique and thrilling feature? We stewed and cooked our brains for months to give you something new and different. We think we've achieved absolute success with the Hangman. Do you? Do you like him well enough to want to see a magazine of 64 complete pages of brand new Hangman adventures?" Well, the question got answered, and as I said, sure enough, the Hangman got his own magazine. And it started out being called Special Comics Number 1. That was the winter 1941-1942 issue. And with the very next issue, it became Hangman Comics with Number 2. That was the spring 1942 issue. Unfortunately, it was not popular enough to continue for very long, and the last issue of Hangman Comics was number 8. That was the fall 1943 issue. And with number 9, it actually became Black Hood Comics. Black Hood was another very, very popular and well-known character published by MLJ Comics, and he actually took over the Hangman's book, and it became Black Hood Comics with number 9 in the winter of 1943. But it only lasted one more issue after that, to issue number 10. That was the spring 1944 issue. The last Hangman appearance in the Golden Age of comic books was in Pep Comics number 47. Again, that was the March 1944 issue, about the same time that the Hangman had his last adventure in Black Hood Comics number 10. I misspoke. Actually, the Black Hood Comics continued longer than issue number 10. It was issue number 10 that had the last appearance of the Hangman in the pages of Black Hood Comics. And of course, Pep Comics continued on for many years after issue number 47, where the Hangman had his last appearance, because MLJ completely shifted its focus to its most popular characters, not superheroes, but Archie Andrews and his gang in all of the various comics in which they appeared, starting with Pep Comics number 22. And we've talked about Archie in some detail when we talked about the Shield in one of our previous episodes of the Golden Age of comic books. Now, the Hangman had some great villains, and I'll mention them just for a moment. The first of the very sinister villains faced by the Hangman was the Jackal, and he appeared in the Hangman adventures in Pep Comics 18 and 20, the Jackal, with kind of a Joker-like character, although he didn't have the weird skin and hair coloration like the Joker has. But he actually committed crimes originally by disguising himself as the Hangman, and the Hangman had to come and clear his name after the Jackal had committed some particularly brutal crimes pretending to be the Hangman. And ultimately, the Jackal met his end at the end of a noose in Pep Comics number 20. There was some other villains, Petrucci and the Crime King. They appeared in Pep Comics 21 and 22. That was a continuation story, and pretty good stuff if you enjoy the Hangman. I think the main villain that the Hangman faced during his Golden Age adventures was Captain Swastika. We talked about Captain Nazi in the pages of Captain Marvel Jr. stories in Master Comics, but the chief villain of the Hangman for many years was Captain Swastika. He began in Hangman number 2, the spring of 1942 issue, and continued for many issues thereafter. So the Hangman was a pretty colorful character, and again, as I mentioned, he was sort of a Batman-like character for MLJ, and his origin came out of the death of his brother, the Comet, and while the Comet had been a very successful and popular superhero for MLJ, he was completely overshadowed by the popularity of the Hangman, who continued on for many years thereafter. Now, I am not going to go into how the Hangman was brought back during the modern age of comics, but I will say that the Hangman and some of the other MLJ characters were ultimately brought back, but the Hangman was more of a villain in his reincarnation than he was a superhero in the stories in which he was brought back. Now, if you want to read some of the Golden Age Hangman stories, where do you go? Well, as it turns out, every single issue of an MLJ comic book that I mentioned earlier that features stories of the Hangman have been reprinted. Now, unfortunately, for those of you who don't want to read digital comics, they have not been reprinted in their entirety in a book or a trade or some other paper format. They have been reprinted digitally by goldcomics.com. I've mentioned that company before. And if you go to their website, goldcomics.com, you can purchase either individually or in their entirety the adventures of all of the MLJ superheroes that appeared during the Golden Age of comic books, including, of course, the Hangman. And for, I believe, $99, they will sell a DVD that contains every single MLJ comic book cover to cover, including letters, pages, etc., that were printed with superhero stories during the Golden Age. And the good thing about that is not only do you get the superhero stories, but you get all the other stories as well. So if you get the Pep Comics collection or the entire collection that has the Pep Comics contained in it, you will get all of the early Archie stories as well. So it's kind of a neat resource. I purchased a copy and, of course, used it for the research for this show, and I've been enjoying reading some Golden Age stories that I've never read before. I am reading them on a computer screen, and so that's not quite the same as reading them in the big easy chair with a book in my lap, but hey, you know, there's no other way to read them, so there you go. I believe that other Hangman stories have probably been reprinted piecemeal by AC Comics or some of the other companies that we've talked about before. But if you want to read those stories in their entirety, go to goldcomics.com and check out what they have available there. I hope you have enjoyed learning a little bit about the Hangman. Certainly a very unique and interesting character for MLJ, but I think very consistent, as I mentioned earlier, with the Batman character. But a great adventure character, a great superhero, and if you like grim and gritty stories about fighting crime and fighting gangsters, then I know you'll enjoy The Hangman. All right, well, that's going to do it for the 45th installment of the Golden Age of Comic Books for October 8th, 2006. I hope you've enjoyed the show this week, and don't forget, if you want to talk about the topics that we've discussed on the Golden Age of Comic Books this week, you can go to the forum at comicgeekspeak.com. There's a forum there for the Golden Age of Comic Books. If you go to our website at goldenagecomics.org, over on the top left-hand side of the web page, the main page, you will find a link to that particular form. You'll also find in the forum a topic related directly to this episode, and there'll be a link to that particular topic at goldenagecomics.org where I discuss on the blog page this episode. Please don't forget to support the Grand Comic Book Database Project at comics.org and their continuing effort to index and put covers on the web of all the comic books that have been created from the beginning of the Golden Age to the present. Don't forget to support the Hero Initiative, heroinitiative.org, another worthwhile endeavor for the creators of comic books to help them meet their daily needs of living. Please don't forget to vote for us at Podcast Alley. Go to Podcast Alley and place your vote for the Golden Age of Comic Books. There'll be a link also on our blog page at goldenagecomics.org where you can click on that link and go to the vote page. So please cast your vote. It's a new month, October, and I would appreciate each and every vote. And I do appreciate the votes that I've already received. Please don't forget to drop me an email at goldenagecomics@gmail.com. I certainly enjoy the emails I receive and love talking to all of you about Golden Age of Comic Books. So, have a great week, everybody. Go out and check out the goldcomics.com reprints of the stories of the Hangman and the other MLJ characters, and I know that you will not be disappointed. So, I look forward to talking to each and every one of you about Golden Age comic books on our next episode.